God is good. How many of you have been through a storm lately? I don't mean last night. There's many kinds of storms. Storms happen. Storms are a part of life. There's emotional storms. There's storms of temptation. There's storms of pain. Somebody stabs you in the back, betrays you, walks out on you, and you're hurting, and it's a storm. You didn't see it coming. You almost never see storms coming. But they come, and they hit you sideways, and they knock you off balance. And Jesus knew that storms were a part of life. As a matter of fact, he guaranteed they were going to come. When the rain falls, when the winds blow, when the floods beat on the house that is your life, it's going to depend on what you're founded on. What the foundation is whether or not you survive it. Storms are part of life. And we've been talking about storms for 3 weeks now. Today I want to talk to you about something that really struck me in a particular way sometime back in my own life. The Lord just seemed to quicken something to me. And so I want to today talk to you about the subject, don't fellowship with your storm. Don't fellowship with your storm. You go, well, that's a weird statement. Well, I'm going to explain it. But it's very real. You can fellowship with it, and it'll take you down. So let's read out of Matthew 8. Now, this is one chapter after Sermon on the Mount. And here Jesus tells the disciples to get into a boat, and they followed him. So when they hit the storm, Jesus took them into it. Say, well, don't say that, Pastor Jeff. He wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. Yes, he would, because I'm reading the Bible. Do you think Jesus didn't know there was going to be a storm at sea when he told them, get in the boat, let's go to the other side? Do you think he was shocked? A storm, well, I'll be. I didn't know that was coming. God never says, well, I'll be. Jesus knew it was coming. They didn't, but Jesus did, and he took them into it. So suddenly a great tempest arose. There it is. It happened quickly. It arose on the sea. Tempest is Euroclodon, cyclone, hurricane type winds. So the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, what's about to happen in verse 27 is, I believe, the whole reason he took them to the sea to experience this storm, because they asked the right question. Their knowledge of him and concept of who they've been following around is about to be upgraded. They see him talk to wind and talk to waves, and they obeyed. So they asked a logical question, who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him. All they'd known heretofore is a miracle worker. But now they're dealing with a different concept, because only God can talk to nature and tell it to obey. So now he's upgrading them, right? Have you ever gone through something and your knowledge of Christ was upgraded? Right? I believe most trials are allowed by God so that our knowledge of the Lord will deepen and be upgraded. So, obviously, we've been following God wrapped in humanity around. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. Lord, many in this room are in a storm. If they're not in one, they will be in one sooner or later. And maybe some are just coming out of one. But Lord, we need the Word of God, and we're asking you to bring your Word to us and speak to us, build us up in the faith, give us revelation in our storm, and help us to navigate through it, for we need you. Lord, we lean on you as Lord of the storm to carry us to the other side. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got it. Amen. All right. Don't fellowship with your storm. Now, A couple of weeks ago, I shared from this very same story, but it was a different angle, that there is a message from God in our storm. I believe any storm you go through, if you seek the Lord, He will speak to you in the storm or as the storm is subsiding. He'll give you a word. The word to them at the end of the storm was, how come you had such little faith? Don't you realize I'm in control of even nature? There was a message in the storm, and the message upgraded who they understood Jesus to be. But now, also, in a storm, the storm has a voice. The storm speaks. The storm has a message. And when the storm struck, they were totally taken off guard. They didn't see it coming. They didn't know that it was coming. It shocked them and took them aside. Because after all, didn't we follow Jesus onto the boat? How is He taking us into this? Why did He take us into this? But He did. And so there was a panic. Where is God in my storm? Why did He let this happen to me? Why did He literally even guide me into it? And they are being rocked by this storm. Water is filling the boat. It looks like they're about to go down. And they made a mistake, and they did something right at the end. So I want to talk to you about the mistake they made first. The first thing they did that was not the best thing to do is they fellowshiped with their storm. Now I want you to think with me for a moment about this concept. In order to fellowship with somebody, it takes two things. It takes you talking to them and them talking to you. There is communication back and forth with whoever you're fellowshipping with. Koinonia, fellowship. You're getting to know somebody. You're listening to somebody. You're speaking to somebody. You're opening up to somebody. There is communication going on, and the Bible calls it fellowship. Okay? So to fellowship with somebody, there must be this communication. Whatever you're fellowshipping with has your ear and has your attention. And if you fellowship with it long enough, it'll get your heart. Whatever you're fellowshipping with. So you're listening to it and you're talking back to it. The Bible has a lot to say about fellowship. That word is used over and over and over in a lot of different contexts. Let me give you a few. The Bible says we're called to have fellowship with God's children. But if we are living in the light, look at this verse. If we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now notice, if you're living in the light, you want to be around other people living in the light. If you get away from the light, the last thing you want to be around is people living in the light. Because people living in the light convict you. So if you depart from the light, you have a way of searching out people who are no longer themselves walking in the light. But if you're living in the light and you're with somebody living in the light, then you have koinonia. You have fellowship. And it's the best kind. I get more out of church. Listen, you think, well, you love preaching up there. I do love preaching, but here's the thing. I love being with you more. I like coming up here and just being with the people. That's why before every service, I come out about 10 minutes before and I make my rounds and I say hi to all five of you. It doesn't take me long at all. But I come out and I say hello to people. And I just talk. You know, how you doing? Love the hat. Love the suit. You look great today. Better than me. Talk to them. All right? Because I like getting around the people of God because we need each other. If you're walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, I'm going to search you out because I want to be with others that are walking in the light. And the best kind, amen. And the best kind of fellowship available in all the earth is when two children of God get together and fellowship and share the glory of God and the good things of God with each other. Amen. So I love church for that reason. That's why I tell you, you can watch online, but a TV image can't lay hands on you. A TV image can't shake your hand. You might as well watch a fire burning in a fireplace on TV. You can't smell it burning, and you can't feel the heat. It's just an image. Come to church and koinonia with each other. All right? So we can fellowship with one another. Then we can fellowship with Jesus himself. Isn't that beautiful? He says, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's Christianity. Let me tell you what it's not. Christianity is not a bunch of rules and regulations where you become religious. No, Christianity is a relationship. Look what it says. We have fellowship with his Son. That means I talk to him. He talks to me. It is a vertical, real, ongoing, day-to-day relationship with somebody that though I haven't seen him, yet I love him. Amen? And I fellowship with him. So as soon as I'm saved, I've got a vertical relationship that I didn't have before. Until I'm saved, all I have is this way. All right? I know other people. But as soon as I get saved, a whole nother avenue of relationship opens up. And he has created for us a new and a living way. A new and a living way into fellowship and relationship with the living God who made everything. Amen. Now here, I love this too. We can also fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he lives in you to fellowship with you. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, Paul said in another place. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That means I talk to him, he talks to me all day long. I got to tell you, in my heart, I'm in communion with, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Because I'm in a relationship. The Holy Spirit is the means, amen. The Holy Spirit is the means by which I communicate with and fellowship with and relate to Jesus Christ. Thank God for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We've already had fellowship with him today. Jesus said when he comes, he will guide you and lead you and teach you. Well, that's impossible unless there's fellowship going on. So we can fellowship with each other, fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't even have to be a person in order to fellowship with them. Paul said this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now watch that. He says you can fellowship with works and activities from the dark side. And so can Christians. Oh yeah, we can fellowship with things that are on the dark side. That's why we've got to be discerning in this day, very aware, stay in the word, stay in prayer, be watchful in all things. Because what the enemy likes to do is get you into fellowship with something that is dark. Bring you into something that is dark, you're fellowshipping with it. You're listening to it and you're talking to it. You're listening to it. It has your ear. And Paul said, don't fellowship with anything that has its source in the dark side. And there's all kinds of possibilities out there. That's why every day, start your day with the Word of God, the light. Because the entrance of His words bring light. They bring understanding to the simple. Because I want to start my day lit. I don't want to start my day off kilter. No, I want to start my day lit. So I light myself every morning by getting into the Word of God and into prayer. Amen? And he says we can also, as God's children, have fellowship with demons. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. Now he's talking to the Corinthian church. Children of God, look what he says. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. That means they're talking to you, you're talking back. You're listening. They have your ear. Paul the Apostle said, in the last days, some are going to depart from the faith. How? By giving heed, that means listening to seducing spirits and things taught by demons. So if demons have doctrine, if they teach, How are they going to teach unless there's a listener? And what do demons do? They come to Christians that don't know their Bible, and they teach doctrines of devils, and you think it's God, and they're able to seduce you away from the real McCoy, the real thing, Jesus. So, and before you know it, you didn't know it, but now you're drifting from God, you're away from God. How did it happen? Something got your ear, something got your attention, and you began to fellowship with the message and the teaching of a demon. That's why we got to be discerning in these days, dear church. I can't say this enough. You better have on your discernment hat, because there's so much deception out there. There are so many things that are false, so many false teachers, so many false prophets on social media. They're on every street corner in social media. We need to have our discernment on. We need to know the Word of God so that when something comes along and says, I'm from God, if it's not from God, we can immediately know it. We know how to test the spirits, whether they are of God. 1 John 4:1, test the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we can fellowship literally with demons. So watch this. If we can fellowship with God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the people of God, if we can fellowship with all of those, and on the dark side, we can fellowship with works of darkness and even demons, then we can certainly also fellowship with a storm. Yeah. How do we do it? By listening to it, agreeing with its message, and allowing it to rule our emotions. A storm. Here it comes, financial pink slip on your desk. Here it comes, doctor's report. Here it comes, you wake up, somebody has walked out on you. And suddenly, you're in an emotional, maybe physical storm. It has struck. So with that storm, listen carefully to me now, this is so true. With that storm, there's always a message. The storm brings a message. So does God. God will speak in your storm. If God speaks, it brings peace, joy, exhortation, comfort, security. But if you listen to the voice of the storm, it's going to bring fear and worry and hand-wringing and distress and sleepless nights. Notice how the disciples, at the very beginning of this storm, they clearly listen to the message of the storm. They listen to the voice of the storm. Lord, we're perishing. Let me ask you a question. Where did they get that information? We're perishing. This is our last day. We're going down for the last time. We're not going to come back after this. This is a terrible storm. This is going to wipe us out. This is the end of our life. We followed you into the boat. Now we're going to die out here. Where did they get that information? They got the information. They didn't get it from God. They got the information from the storm. The storm, the roaring, raging, howling storm spoke to them and said, you're toast. Have you ever had a storm tell you that? You're not coming back. You're down for the count. It's over for you. I'm looking at, I know many people right here today who at one time in your life, a storm came. And the message of the storm was, you're never going to walk with God again. You're never going to come back again. You've made too many mistakes. God's done with you. Your destiny is gone. You might as well hang it up. And yet here you are today. How are you here today? How are you here today? Everybody say, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, I'm here today. But the initial message of the storm, and let me tell you about the voice of the storm, it's always a lie, or at least a half a lie. That storm lies to you. That storm capitalizes on the moment. That storm hopes you forget the Word of God. That storm hopes you don't remember the promises of God. Because that storm is there to convince you to hang it up and walk away that you are done. Lord, we're perishing. Were they really perishing? Is that the truth? Nope. It was a lie because Jesus was in the boat. And if Jesus is in your boat, that boat's going to float. I promise you. But here's the thing, the voice of the storm had become louder than the voice of their faith. That's what happened. They weren't listening to their faith. They weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They were listening to the storm. The storm was talking to them and they were listening. And not only were they listening, they were agreeing with it. They were coming into agreement with it. They came into agreement with the message of the storm. They said to Jesus, "We are perishing." In other words, they didn't say we might be or we could. They said, "We are. It's a done deal. We're down. It's over." They came into agreement to the level they spoke it. They communicated it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. If the storm has convinced you its message is true, you're going to say it. So the second thing we see is this. The voice of your storm never agrees with the voice of God. Can I say that again? The voice of your storm never agrees with the voice of God. The voice of your storm never agrees with your Redeemer. The voice of the storm never agrees with the power of God to deliver you and help you and save you and heal you and bring you to a new day. Storms deliver a message that does not align with God's promises. The storms talk and they lie. This fact is all through the Bible. When the 12 spies were sent over to spy out the promised land, they were handpicked by Moses. And you know what? Moses literally went and got Joshua and pulled him into the 12. Caleb was picked. So you had 12 spies. 10 would listen to the voice and the message of the storm of giants. 2 listened to the voice of God and his promises. Listen to what the 10 said. Tell me who they were listening to. "We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." Really? Did the sons of Anak tell you you looked like grasshoppers to them? No. Where'd you get that? The storm told me. The storm told me I'm nothing compared to them. The storm told me they're going to wipe me out. The storm told me I don't have a chance. The storm told me I can't defeat them. The storm told me I cannot overcome them. The storm told me don't even try. The storm was a liar. Because they had fellowship and come into agreement with the storm, they brought the false message of the storm back to the people. And that's the crime of it. Not only did they listen to the storm. See, if you and I listen to the storm, we're going to tell others what the storm is telling us. And that's infectious. They came back and they committed a crime against these people. They came back and said, not what God said. "I'm going to give you power to overcome any enemy. I'm going to give you victory everywhere you go. Everywhere your foot trods, I'm going to give it to you." God told them that. But no, do they decide to listen to that? No, they listened to the storm of the giants stomping around. So they committed a crime against this generation and they came back and they said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Was that true? Were they able? Were they able in God? Come on, church, talk to me. Were they able in God? Oh yeah, they were able in God. Were they able? So this storm, they saw these giants and it created a storm of emotion in them. "We can't do it. It was a lie. It wasn't true." And so they came and they infected everybody else with it. And guess what happened? They all fell into panic and unbelief, and an entire generation, all those people that left Egypt after 10 plagues, after God showed his power, after manna for 40 years, after their shoes not wearing out, their clothes not wearing out, cloud by day, fire by night. What did they do? They listened to the voice of a storm being repeated by people that had come into agreement with it. And the entire generation did not enter the promised land. Yeah, y'all are quiet. They listened to 10 men instead of 2. Because listen to what the 2 said. Oh, I love this. They were listening to the Lord. They said, "Don't fear them. The Lord is with us. They're going to be food for our consumption. We're going to eat them alive. Their protection has departed from them. In other words, they're nothing up against our God. We're going to take all of them. But no, they listened to the 10. Another example quickly, in Elisha's day, the king of the Syrians sent a huge troop of soldiers to capture Elisha. One man, thousands of soldiers were sent to capture one man and his little servant. The Bible records, and he, the Syrian king, dispatched horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and they surrounded the city. Now that's a storm. To the natural eye, this was a dark, stormy, impossible to win cloud of enemy troops vastly outnumbering these two men, one prophet and one little servant, and they were not in tip-top shape. Elisha's servant got up the next morning, and it says he went out, and behold, horses and chariots surrounding the city. And he sounds just like the disciples here when they said, "Help us, Lord, we're perishing." They said, "Oh, Master, what are we going to do?" Just like the disciples, Elisha's servant was fellowshipping with the storm. All those troops said, "You're done. We're going to get you. It's over. You've lived your last day. There's thousands of us, two of you. What are you going to do?" But see, you and me and God are a majority. Every time. They were listening to it. This servant was listening to it. He was coming into agreement with it, and he was allowing it to rule his emotions. He was panicking. And Elisha replied, I love Elisha's reply, "Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." Now, the servant, he's looking around. "Boss, you're stressed. You've been doing this too long, because I'm looking and all I see is we're surrounded by an army." But Elisha prayed a prayer. Here it is. "Oh God, open his eyes and let him see." Open his eyes and let him see. And here's this young man. He's panicking. He's freaking out. And it says the eyes of the young man were open. And what did he see? He saw a wonder. The whole mountainside was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. Amen. These were mighty angelic hosts that looked like burning fire surrounding these two men who were men of faith. So the message of the storm, your toast, was a lie. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? So God delivered them, and you know the rest of the story. But here's the thing. Are you listening to your storm today? Are you coming into agreement with it? Or are you listening to the Lord? Because the storm's talking to you, and so is the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but also whom you will listen to. Well, I believe the report of the Lord. Do you? Are you listening? The last thing I learned is quickly this. What you fellowship with in the storm decides how you go through the storm. What you fellowship with in it, you can go through it in total misery and you can prolong your time there, or you can fellowship with the Lord. Because both are there for access. When we fellowship with the storm, we position ourselves to experience worry, fear, hand-wringing, and defeat. When we fellowship with Jesus in the storm, we position ourselves for peace, strength, victory, exhortation, comfort, security, power. I recently read a true story of a pastor and a lawyer friend that had been visiting Alaska. They were going to fly back home on a commercial jet, but another pastor who happened to fly was there with a small plane, private plane, and he talked them into going back with him. So these three men get into this little plane, and they take off from Anchorage. And when they took off, they eventually found themselves flying through dense clouds with no visibility. So here they are. There's no visibility. Pilot, a pastor. Front seat passenger, a pastor. Back seat, a lawyer. The pilot became disoriented and passed out. Not going to give you a warm fuzzy. Passed out. His eyes, according to the story I read, actually rolled back in his head. He's unconscious. The passenger pastor starts violently shaking him, trying to wake him up to no avail. The lawyer sitting in the back seat has quickly been listening to the storm. And he said, "We're all going to die, aren't we?" Where'd he get that? From the storm. He was speaking the message of the storm. The pastor grabbed the airplane microphone, handed it to him, and said, "Cry for help." So here goes the lawyer. "Help, help, help. Is anyone out there?" A bit later, a freighter pilot responded. "Is this an emergency? Don't you know radio etiquette?" "No." And then he was told, "The pilot has fainted." After the freighter pilot learned this, he started giving instructions and finally got them in contact with the Anchorage Airport Tower. So now, this passenger who's never flown and the lawyer in the back seat are in contact with an air traffic controller who is very calm and gave them simple instructions on how to turn the plane around, because he said, "You're headed straight for a mountain." He repeated certain things over and over. "Listen to my voice. Don't look at the storm outside. In your panic, there's going to be voices in your head telling you to do this or that. Don't listen to them. Listen only to my voice. You can't see me, but I can see you. Your visibility is gone in the clouds, but I see you. I'm tracking you. I know right where you are, and I'm in contact. Listen to the control tower. Don't listen to the storm." That pastor listened, especially after he said these words to the pastor: "If you don't listen to my voice, you will die." That make you listen. That pastor listened, did everything he was instructed to do. By this time, other pilots in the area had caught on to the conversation, and they were calling with encouragement, exhortation, and instructions as well, but mainly the control tower. As they flew near to Anchorage, the air traffic controller described the landing zone, and here's what he said. This is a true story. He said, "The lights are in the shape of a cross." Step by step, the pastor landed that plane amateurishly. He went up and down 7 times. Finally landed, taxi to a stop. He had listened to the controller's voice and not the storm, and their lives were saved. That's a true story. So here's the thing. In every storm, you got the storm talking to you. Panic. Make hasty decisions. Do whatever you got to do. Freak out. The control tower says, "Listen only to my voice. And if you'll listen to my voice, I'm going to bring you in for a safe landing. Listen to my voice." Amen. Can we stand together today? This story was told in an interview by the pastor, not the one who had fainted. I don't know what happened to him. He probably woke up going, "Wow, what happened to me?" And they're on a runway. But this passenger pastor gave this testimony. And I was able to pull this verbiage from the testimony. This really happened. And it's true to life. You're in a storm, financial, marital, temptation, heartbreak, confusion, deception, and the storm is raging around you, and it's telling you, this is it for you. This is your last rodeo. You're going down. You're down for the count. But the control tower says, listen to my voice. Where is the voice? It's in his Bible. That's primarily where it is. Yeah? But you've also got the Holy Spirit inside of you. And he will direct you. He will speak to you. He'll never tell you something contrary to his word, but he will say, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Be still, be calm, listen to me. If you listen to me, I'm going to get you home. I'm going to get you to the other side. So whatever storm you're in, if you're in one today, can you raise your hand and say, well, I needed this today. Amen. A lot of people. Yeah. Storm of temptation beating on your house. Father, lift up your hands if you're in a storm. Father, in Jesus' name, we don't want to fellowship with the storm. We want to fellowship with you in the storm. You took the disciples to the other side. You're going to take us to the other side. Now I want you to say with me, sure, say, Lord, I give you the storm I'm in. You know what it is. And I'm asking you to help me to listen to the control tower. And not that lying storm. In Jesus' name, now with your heads bowed. Listen to me now. I'm talking right to you. Forget about the people around you. Let me talk straight to you. Do you know Jesus? Because let me tell you the truth with your heads bowed. Let me just be straight with you. If you don't know Jesus, there's no control tower. Because you're not connected to him. You're not on the radio frequency of salvation. So he can't direct you like he would one of his own children. He has one thing to say to you, and that is he wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. So let me ask you, do you know him? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, if you're not sure, you probably don't. Because if you know him, you're sure. I want to pray with you today because the most important thing you can do today is get in touch with the control tower. Get a relationship with God that is vertical. Come into contact with the living God. Second, you're a believer and you've drifted. You've gotten out there one way or another into the world. And can I tell you the truth? God loves you. He knows where you are. He's tracking you. You're on his radar. And he wants you to know the porch light is still on. The porch light is still on. And I want you to come home. Don't live another day out of contact with the control tower. Not another day. I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray right now. I'm going to pray two prayers. The first one, if you need to come to Christ, why would you not do it right now? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. So I encourage you, take advantage of this situation. You may not ever have another opportunity like this one. Pray with me. If you've drifted, pray with me. So that's going to be the two prayers. So here we go. If you need Jesus, if you think you need Jesus, let me lead you in a prayer to come to him. Ready? Pray this. Say, Lord Jesus. Pray it. You can do it. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Forgive me, Jesus, for my sin. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Be my Savior and Lord from this moment forward. In Jesus' name. And now if you've drifted, oh, come home, friend. Come home right now. Pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, I've gotten away from you. Please forgive me for drifting and getting out in the world and busyness and neglecting my walk. Forgive me my sin and receive me back right now and place me in the center of your will. In Jesus' name.